You are listening to Rift Overcast.
Hello, welcome to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me as always is Joe.
Hey.
Also joining us today from Guild Tabula Rasa, we have Amanatine. I think I said that right.
And yeah, that's close.
It's close. And Beta Wolf.
Other.
So we didn't do a poll this week, so I can't talk about the poll, because I failed on that. But we did do a giveaway. I know it's kind of blasphemy, but it was donated to us. I figured why not share it. We gave away a Guild Wars 2 beta key. And congratulations to Sherry Wall. You won the Guild Wars 2 beta weekend key for July 20th through 22nd. So we'll get that to you after the show. So let's talk about Tabula Rasa a little bit. Let's get to know the guild. Like, how did you're the GM of the guild, right, Amanatine?
Yeah, that's correct. We've basically been around since beta, and I mean, the reason why we formed the guild is because we just wanted to kind of have casual environment for guys. We just didn't want to, we weren't really thinking about raiding or doing anything of that nature, but then that kind of took a turn and we decided, you know, we wanted to get some more people, do a little bit of raiding. This is back when we were doing GSP, and we actually ended up joining with another guild, and we combined guilds, and that actually didn't work out very well. It seems like it never does, but and then we just, at that point, broke off and formed Tabula Rasa. The rest is kind of history.
So how long have you been in Tabula Rasa, Beta Wolf?
I've been here since right before Christmas of last year.
Okay, so you've been there for a while then. You've been there for the majority or the entirety of the ID progression, then?
Yeah, I've been here since we started going for Conqueror in HK.
Oh, awesome. Did you guys manage to get that, then?
We did. I think we were world 6th or 7th?
I think it was 10th or something. But yeah, right around there.
Did you guys kind of have that in mind when you got started raiding, that you wanted to, you know, check the stats? You wanted to see, like, where you were lining up against other guilds and kind of go for that competitive progression?
No, not really. I mean, that's, a lot of the people in our guild came from other MMOs and did a lot of progression rating in, like, world-ranked guilds. And most of us are a little bit, I don't want to say older, I don't really want to say more mature, but a lot of us just don't want to be around that kind of scene anymore. We don't have the time of, you know, unlimited amount of rating and amount of time to invest into the MMO scene. So we just decided we just wanted to do like 9 hours a week of rating and kind of leave it at that and see what we could do. And I mean, we've managed to do pretty well.
Yeah, we try to do what other guilds do in 12 or 16 hours of raiding in 9 hours. And so that means we get a lot less practice on the progression fights, but we actually pretty much stay ahead of everyone else in progression, other than the very, very top tier world guilds.
But yeah, like, that's not our intention. We don't, I think everyone kind of likes to see, you know, where they kind of measure up against everyone else, but it's not our goal to try to beat X guild or, you know, try to be world first or second, third, tenth or whatever. It's just like, oh, hey, we are the number 2 North American guild right now. That's kind of cool for what the amount of time we invest into the game. So.
Oh, awesome. You're number 2 in North America right now?
Yeah.
Of the Guardian guilds.
Of the Guardian guilds, I'm sorry, yeah.
Well, that's excellent, especially considering the small amount of hours that you put in compared to a lot of the other competing guilds. Yep. You guys got Lathys down recently, correct?
Yeah, we got Lathys and the Eggs down on Monday, so 2 days ago.
How long did you guys spend on Lathys before you finally got that kill?
Ooh, it's been about a month and 2 weeks now, I think. I don't have the exact number of hours or number of attempts, but it's, I don't know, it's probably into the hundreds, well into the hundreds of attempts, so it's taken us a little while, but it's a difficult fight, very difficult fight.
Yeah, we're always hearing about how difficult Lathys is. Like, Joe and I just got into a new guild, and we want to stream our raids and stuff, but we're waiting to make sure everything pans out okay with it and everything. And the new guild is, they're 4 out of 8 ID, right, Joe?
They're 3.
Oh, they're 3. I thought they were 4.
No, they're doing, for some odd reason, they're doing Rusilla first, which I really think we should be doing Conclave just to get out of the way, so we are 4 out of 8, but yeah, they have a Tuzial and the first 2 down.
All right. Well, I brought it up because Joe and I, you know, are talking about the decisions that they've made for which bosses they're going to go after and everything. And they're a great guild. I'm really enjoying them. I got to raid with them for the first time last night, right, Joe? It was last night? I can't even keep track of the days.
Yeah, you can't keep track of your days, but yeah, it was last night.
And everything went really well. We definitely made some good progress on Rusilla. We got her into phase 2 for the first time and stuff. But me and Joe got to talking about the order of bosses that we were going to go in, and you know, if we killed Council, then it, and we kill Rusilla, then it's straight to Lathys, right? And I was just telling them like how I'm not really in a rush to get to Lathys because I know that she's going to be a brick wall. And like, you know, right now it's like you beat your heads against Rusilla for maybe a week or two, and then you get her down and it feels satisfying. You do the same thing against a Tuzial or the same thing against Council, and it's satisfying. But then that's going to probably go away once we get to Lathys.
Yeah, the Dragon Wing opens up after everything else has been completed. So you have to go down the Fire Wing and the Earth Wing before you can do Lathys or Maleforge.
Yeah, and I'm I don't know. I really like the Lathys fight, but I don't know if I'm really looking forward to having 4 hours of wiping every raid night for a month and a half straight, which seems to be a pretty average amount of time that people are spending on Lathys lately.
Yeah, I mean, right now, a lot of the groundwork has been laid for the fight. I mean, Special Olympics has their version of the strategy up. There's so many videos you can go out there and watch now and kind of get a good understanding of how the fight works. So at least you've got any guild coming to it now at this point is going to have that in their favor. So, I mean, that definitely helps a lot. Going in cold, that's to me even makes it even more challenging. So you do have to give a lot of props to those guilds that were in there first, and you know, like No Quarter spending 17 hours in one day, you know, when it first came out to tackle her. So I mean, that's just a whole another animal too. So
did you guys ever feel like shaken at all by your attempts on Lathys and then having, you know, to spend that much time on one boss?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wears on you at some point, some points, because a lot of it comes down to changing up your raiding composition. And you change up the composition, and it's so tightly tuned that you switch in a cleric for a mage healer or something. You know, those both of them can heal, but you switch them up, and all of a sudden now you've got to change other things around. You have to, like, change another DPS around. You got to change up your who can drain and who can do some of the other things. So it's like one person doesn't show up or one person has to go on vacation or whatever. You got to change like everything on your composition. And it can, you know, and then some things don't work. And it just really can be a challenge at times. You just got to make sure you're not going at each other's throats because it can really get pretty hairy at times.
Yeah, honestly, Lathys takes a lot of practice. The fight is so unforgiving, and even less forgiving thanks to the mount bug that Trion has yet to fix. But the fight is killable. You know, it takes top-notch heals, top-notch DPS, and tanking as well. And everyone has to have really good situational awareness.
What's this? What's the mount? I don't know about that. What's the mount bug?
The mount bug is basically, we've narrowed it down to either when someone dies, when right after Lathys summons the mounds and starts to do her destruction, where she starts to breathe over the entire raid, and you have to line of sight by being behind the mound. If someone dies, like before she starts to do that breath, or someone accepts a res or something like that, then the mounds will stay up for the entire fight. And then that really causes line of sight issues to other people in the raid. It causes line of sight issues to Lathys. If you watch our video, you'll see that the first set of mounds that we get was executed properly, and the mounds actually disappeared like they're supposed to after she does the breath. But our second set of mounds that we got, the mounds actually bugged out on us and stayed up for the rest of the fight, which caused some of the people on one side of the of Lathys to actually not be able to really DPS her. And then you'll actually see some of the people, some of our warriors or melee, die because they couldn't get over the mound. It was right in front of her when they're trying to do that rotation around her to get out of the tail lance, and they actually ended up beefing it a few times, and that lowered her overall DPS. And we actually did hit the enrage timer, but managed to kill her before she got us down. So.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on Lathys, and you guys are, I believe, 7 out of 8 now, right? So the male forge eggs went down pretty smooth for you, I'm guessing, pretty quick.
Yeah, that's actually really easy to do.
It looks like a lot of fun, though. I can't wait to bounce between platforms. I'm really looking forward to Maleforge, even though I know he's easier than Lathys, so it might not be quite as satisfying, but it looks like a lot of fun because of that whole super jump mechanic looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, it felt a little bit like Superman there. And, I mean, it's the same thing as on the eggs, too, so you can jump around on that, too. They should do more things like that. I think that'd be really cool if they added some things like more things like that in the expansion when that comes out.
Yeah, if you look in the expansion video that they released from the live stream, there are some super jumps that they're doing in that video, and I'm really hoping that we see more of that new innovative play with expansion.
Yeah, you know, we interviewed Special Olympics a few episodes back, and there's a few of them in the chat channel right now, so I just want to tell you guys, I told you that we would probably see that super jump mechanic in the expansion get used for something, and just for the record, they obviously are going to do it, at least in the Colossus encounter, so I called it. So you guys said that you all played a lot of games before Rift and stuff, and you did some hardcore raiding before Rift. What did you play? Was it World of Warcraft, or was it like Dark Age Camelot?
I started in EverQuest back in the day. Did a lot of raiding in there. Obviously, completely different raiding system since it's pretty much open world and everything. And then moved from that to World of Warcraft, and then I tried to escape World of Warcraft several times by doing Dark Age Camelot and some other games for a short period of time, but then I always would end up coming back to World of Warcraft, and finally ended up trying Star Wars for a little bit there, the Old Republic, and then just decided to stick with Rift right now.
And I really kind of was late to the MMO game. I played Atlantica Online, which was a turn-based free-to-play MMO, and that was kind of one of my first experiences with the MMO. And then from there I went to Aeon, which I think a lot of people played, and I loved the competitive aspect of the MMO and the constantly evolving game, and fell in love with PvP and started playing with Afotic, which at the time was the number one North American guild. And I was part of them until 2.1, at which point I quit Aeon.
It's actually really funny that you mention Afotic and Aeon, because there were two Afotics, and I'm guessing you're not talking about the Afotic that was on Israfel.
No, I'm talking about the main Afotic that had the highest abyssal points.
You remember, Joe, how many times we would get, like, recruitment, you know, messages or whispers or whatever asking us if we were the same Afotic as the other one?
Yeah, it became irritating at a point, to be honest.
It was pretty funny. Joe and I played Aeon for quite a while, too, and we really enjoyed the PvP aspects of Aeon, and especially the rifting and stuff. The Abyss didn't really work out like I think everybody kind of wanted it to, but the rifting was a ton of fun. So we played Aeon for quite a long time, and the guild that we had was called Afotic, and we didn't know that there was a top guild called Afotic, so we used to always get whispers all the time we were on Israfel asking us if we were the same Afotic as the other one, and I think a couple of people even joined us thinking we were the other Afotic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I thought that Aeon PvP was really innovative, and I hope we see more PvP like that. even in Rift. I think that Rift has the potential to have that type of PvP.
I have mixed feelings on that, honestly, simply because I really feel like a game has to be built for PvP out the gate in order for it to really be able to accommodate, especially the kind of open world PvP that like Ion had, you know. Ion's PvP was so awesome. If you didn't play Ion, the best thing about Ion's PvP was honestly the fact that the two factions were completely separated with their zones. You could not enter the opposite faction zone at all unless you went through a portal called a rift. And the portals called rifts had let a limited amount of people through, and they only opened at specific times throughout the day. And they opened in different locations, so you had to go and you had to find them, and then you had to hope that there was enough uses left on the portal to actually get through. And then once you were on the other side, if you died, you would be immediately ported back to your homeland and have to go through the rift again. If the rift was closed, you couldn't get back, which led to you using these consumables called kisks. And the kisk was basically like a portable resurrection point. It's like a portable graveyard, so that way you could stay in the enemy territory. But it really allowed you to go through with a smaller group and kind of wreak havoc and try and dodge the larger groups. It was a really good way to balance the open world PvP, I thought.
Yeah, the simple thing to say is that it was regulated. That's what I always want from, you know, open world PvP, is where it's regulated. And that's usually not the you know, what happens in general theme park MMOs like World of Warcraft and Rift and Tor, etc. So it was kind of cool to see it in that.
Yeah, I mean, in World of Warcraft back in the day, I'm talking vanilla here, it was, I mean, there was no, you didn't get anything for PvP. You just went out and tried to take over the people's towns, and I guess, I don't know if it was just about griefing or what, but I mean, there, you didn't get any gear, there was no favor, there was nothing of that nature. So you pretty much, you were just doing it for fun. And I don't know, a lot of games, it's almost, you feel like you have to do it because you have to get the gear. And like in Rift, for example, you want to get that weapon that's going to have more DPS than your, you know, current main hand or off hand, so you can do more DPS in PvE or something. I mean, I'd like to see more PvP or return to PvP that's enjoyable, you know, rather than just you're doing it so you have to get something or an item or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like the current PvP in Rift is a lot of a grind. Without that same feeling or enjoyment of that skilled PvP or strategic PvP brings you when you're either with a small group or a large group. You know, I think that a lot of the lessons that can be learned from Aeon was the fact that they had the six-man skilled PvP, the Dredgian, where you could have a pre-made of six people go in, and it was regulated. You know, it only happened four times a day, but you could go in and just completely destroy another team, or if it was another good team, have a really good, fun match. And then with the four battles, I mean, those were large-scale strategic battles for rewards. And I feel like Rift has the potential to be a great PvP game. I think currently the PvP is way too bursty, and this creates the OP specs, as well as supporting less skilled PvP. If the health pools were increased and the healing was decreased slightly, with some testing and balancing, I could see Rift as a great PvP game, and I think that it really has that potential for Storm Legion.
Me and Matt talked about it a few episodes back. I think it was with Kalenjos, Matt, if you remember, that we wanted a Dredgian type, you know, type of content in this game in particular. And
yep.
Matt has been stressing the too bursty port and PvP in this game for, like, ever since he started playing the game, pretty much. He's wanted to rectify it since pretty much day one. And apparently, Tryon wants nothing to do with that, apparently, because they don't address it whatsoever.
I think Tryon is seeking other ways to try to deal with the burstiness that is the actual, you know, the metagame, especially the AoE, especially in Conquest. There's an AoE burst metagame. Like, it's just all about delivering as much burst as you can to as many targets as you can, as quickly as you can, and that's all that matters right now. And it really is a direct result of low HP pools, but I think Tryon is seeking a lot of alternative ways to try to compensate that. For some reason, they won't increase health pools. They've increased Valor. You know, they've toyed with the scaling and the bolstering and stuff like that, and new tiers, or they nerf a specific spec. You know, they're like, oh my god, Riftstorm is just demolishing people, so they nerf Riftstorm or something, which they haven't done. But I don't think that they should do, you know, like Riftstorm is a good example. I don't think that they really need to nerf Riftstorm. They just need to have higher health pools. An example that I gave on a previous episode is like sidesteps for the rogue will give the rogue a 50% increased chance to dodge for a certain amount of time. Now, if you're, you know, an 8K, 10K health rogue, right, and you pop a sidesteps, I mean, you don't have enough health. Like, if you miss, if you don't dodge that next hit, if you're at 20% health and you don't dodge that next hit, you're dead. But if you had, like, 25,000 health, right, and then you popped a sidesteps and you were at 20% and you didn't dodge that next hit, you might live, and then you might actually dodge the one after that, and then the one after that, you might have a little bit of time to do something, you know? It's like the value of the defensive cooldowns right now isn't there because you just don't have the time for them to function the way that they're kind of intended to.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, it kind of goes back to what you were saying a little bit earlier about PvE and whether the game is kind of designed for PvE or PvP right off the bat. And I think it's just so difficult to balance the game around, you know, PvP and PvE with all these different abilities. And I think they really struggle with that, and especially in this game where you can, you've got the soul trees and you have so many different options. They really have to, you know, have to have both their teams communicating. I think that's what makes it so difficult, and what makes it such a challenge, and why people get, especially players, get really frustrated for, you know, having to wait along for so many of these changes to come. And I don't know. I wish there was a way to separate the abilities so that you could have a separate PvP skill set and PvE skill set. That way, when they change one thing, it wouldn't affect PvE if you have a PvP ability and so on and so forth. So,
I think people have wanted that in MMOs for the longest time. I think this game does a slightly better job than like World of Warcraft did, because World of Warcraft would directly affect PvE like so drastically every time I did a nerf because of arena or something. I think Rift's done a better job, but it's, you know, like you said, it still affects it, and we still want separate abilities. But developers are either don't want to do it, or they just takes too much time, so they don't, you know, want to commit that much time doing that, so they just don't bother.
Well, you know, speaking of being able to separate the PvP and the PvE, right? I didn't put this in the show notes, but I do want to bring this up because I was talking to Joe about this, right? Pre-show, Joe, I was talking to you about the hit on the PvP weapons.
Yep. So last night when we were doing the raid, actually.
Yeah, because we saw several of our guildmates that were using the rank 50 weapons when we were beating on Rusilla last night. And I was just thinking to myself, their weapons are so good. You know, I mean, obviously they look really good too, but their stats are actually really good as well. And they have at least a little bit of hit on them. It's enough hit where combined with your other PvE items, you don't really suffer for using the PvP weapon. And I really don't see why they don't just create a PvP only hit stat, hit attribute. And apparently, Joe, I think you said that you found a post somewhere where Tryon actually said that they weren't going to do that. Like, they straight up said no.
Yeah, when they originally, because it wasn't 1.9 they did this, was it? I forget what patch it was. Was it 1.9 that they put the hit on there? I remember when it was 1.9. I remember when they originally, weeks and weeks ago, announced, you know, like the patch notes were put on the PTS, and there was an outcry from the community, like, why are you putting hit in the weapons? And someone suggested, like, you know, in the suggestion forum, like, put, you know, like what you just said. And they said, no, we're not doing that. Like, they didn't really even, like, elaborate. They just said they don't want to do that.
I think part of that is they just want to almost force PvE players to kind of PvE or PvP. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. And we have a lot of guildies who, you know, want to be competitive with DPS and all that, so they'll go out and they'll PvP, not necessarily because they want to, but because they feel like they have to. And I think that's kind of what Tryon is doing, it almost seems like. The same thing with these planar points and all that. You need to have those if you want to be competitive and if you want to be kind of almost the best you can be. So, I mean, it's not because you want to PvP necessarily, it's because you feel like you have to be competitive. So,
I just think it's bad design for any developer to almost pigeonhole you into doing something. I told Matt when we were discussing this last night, it reminds me of like Burning Crusade. Wow, if either one of you guys played during that, I know that bit old then, but every rogue I even think warriors were to an extent, were using merciless gladiator weapons. Because in the beginning, when only like Serpentine Cavern and Tempest Keep were only raids out, they were the best weapons out, period. And not till later, until like Black Temple and Sunwell came out, did better stuff come out. And I think WoW learned its lesson because they never had that issue ever again. You were always using PvE weapons for PvE and vice versa.
Yep. And I am not a PvPer. I am horrible at it. I do it though because I feel like I have to be competitive in PvE. Like just the conquest trinkets that came out now, they're best in slot for some people. Like me, as being a cleric tank, the conquest trinket is best in slot for stats, and so I had to pretty much go out and get it. Same thing with some of the enchants, like the glove enchant. It's pretty much best in slot. And you can't get that from any other option other than PvP, so I had to go out and do it. And I felt kind of forced to do that. I just don't think if it's just... I mean, they have all these other options, instant adventures, and all these other things you can do in the game, and they... You know, why are they forcing PvPers and PvEers to kind of cross their boundaries like that? I just wish they wouldn't.
Well, me and Matt, this is such a few weeks back, at one point I first came out, because I was doing the PvP dailies before I was actually doing PvP at all, simply because the reputation, I think it's Aura of the Eye, gives you the boot enchant. And then they made it 1.9 where you get flagged to do that, which is, I only find that stupid, because why would you make that the only way of getting the enchant, and the people who don't want to PvP are flagged? Just really contradicting themselves, rather. And I understand they want crossover, someone said in chat, actually, that they want, you know, like you said before, they want PvEers to PvP and probably even vice versa, but forcing anyone to do anything is just bad design. Doesn't matter what it is. That's just like my rule of thumb.
Well, exactly. That's kind of the whole thing, though, right? Like that's what I was talking about before, where a game kind of has to be built for PvP, like out the gate, if you want to have this open world PvP kind of stuff. And I think if you want to have crossovers too, you know, if you want to mix the PvE and the PvP, you have to have the game kind of designed for that out the gate. A typical theme park MMORPG like World of Warcraft or Rift, I don't think accommodates that really well. I think you need to keep that separate. You know, PvP needs to be that optional separate thing that you can go do, that optional separate activity that you can go do that won't affect your PvE or you know, if you don't PvE, it's not going to affect your PvP, vice versa. They shouldn't affect each other at all. It's just there's no real fair way to design it that will leave both sides completely functional, you know?
So Ion worked better because Ion wasn't a straight, you know, across-the-board theme park. It was a little bit of a sandbox, so it had more, like, flexibility because of how it was made right out the gate.
Now, the other reason why I bring up the hit thing, right, is because, like, somebody in chat room was actually saying how you need hit to bypass avoidances and defenses in PvP. Yes, you do, but that's also a problem to me. You know, when I pop my sidesteps on my rogue, because my rogue is my primary PvP character now. She's rank 42. She's full criterion set. And so, you know, so she's not rank 50 or whatnot, but she's fairly well geared. I'm not a low ranker, and I do fairly well, but if I ever get in trouble and I pop my sidesteps, I've done it like at 100%, you know, because you kind of have to do that right now because of the low HP pools, where you have to use those defensive cooldowns like proactively. You know, you have to predict that you're going to get bursted down. You can't wait until you're at 10% or 20% health to use a lot of those, unless it's like a full heal or something. So, like, I'll engage like a 12k hit point warrior with my 7k hit point assassin, and I'll pop sidesteps right off the bat. And I don't get a single dodge for the entire duration. And the guy must have, like you know, 400 hit or something. He must be using, I don't know, he's probably using like an HK or an ID set with like an HK synergy crystal or something for the bonus or whatever. And so he's got like this retarded amount of hit, and he completely bypasses my like 80% dodge chance. I don't think that should happen. Like, you shouldn't have hit to where it can completely negate a 2-minute cooldown. Those cooldowns are 2 minutes for a reason, you know what I mean? They're 2 minutes because they're supposed to be powerful. They're supposed to be the kind of, you know, get you out of a bind kind of thing, and they don't work right now, really, because hit is too high. And if they made a PvP-specific hit attribute, then they could also cap it, you know, so that you can never have more than, like if instead of hit rating you had accuracy, you could never have more than 150 accuracy. And then my sidesteps might actually be worth a damn.
Yeah, and then there goes the whole argument of whether or not some of those stats, like Valor and all that, if that kind of just breaks PvP in general, you know, if it's just statistics that kind of let lower skilled people go against people that have maybe more skill. And I think that's why, like, Guild Wars 2 isn't going to have any sort of, like, PvP type gear that will give you or boost your stats, because they want it to be skill versus skill. Rather than you going up against someone who has, you know, 1300 Valor and you have none, and then all of a sudden the only reason they're beating the crap out of you is because, you know, because of that one stat, even
I
though you
kind of
may be outperforming them.
look at the stat argument as all or nothing. If you're gonna implement like a resilience or valor type stat, then you should do the hit count thing that matches out accuracy, or you do zero stats. Like, I mean, you can't do half and half like Rift is doing right now, because they have valor but they don't want to put a hit stat in. It's all or nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they're really going half and half on it, because you look at the new Conquest trinkets, right? We already have Vengeance and Valor in the game, but they decided not to use it. And I was actually talking with Kalendros about this, and he was saying that maybe they decided not to use it because apparently Vengeance doesn't scale as well as Attack Power does, which I'm not really sure why. Maybe it has something, it might have something to do with the passives, because all of your talented passives from your soul trees affect attack points, or attack power rather. So maybe they're not affecting Vengeance, but I don't see why they couldn't just make it affect Vengeance as well, you know what I mean? So that Vengeance did scale as well as the attack power did.
Well, generally in the game, I feel like the best gear should be hard to get, but when you get it is great at everything. And that's not the case with Rift. Right now, we have to have a different set, not only for different specs, but also for different things that we're doing. If we're doing PvE, we have to have our ID set. If we're doing PvP, we have to have our PvP set. And then for me, because I love PvPing and min-maxing in PvP, I have to have my PvP set that's more for my offensive spec, and a PvP set for my more defensive spec, just to max out on my capability as a warrior.
And you're rank 50, right, Beta Wolf?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think aren't most people rank 50 now after that huge bug in the Conquest spec in the first few days that it was out?
I mean, I think there's just a rollback, but they're not going to? Oh, sorry, I blurred that out.
Well, that's a good segue, because we do have the rollback on the notes, but
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think they will ever do that. All right, it's already
Oh no, they
been
came
too
out
long.
and affirmed that they're definitely not doing it.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 days ago, and it's like the dumbest reasoning. It's not even reasoning. They should have said, like, it's something we didn't want to happen, but, you know, they literally, like, said, did we want that to happen? No, but we basically people have to deal with it. Like, that was the gist of their post. It was like so asinine.
Yeah, I would be rank 50 right now, but I chose not to do Conquest back when all that crap was going down and everybody was getting those insanely high rewards, because I felt like it was an exploit. I would rather get, you know, if they did do a rollback, I would rather get my favor and prestige from a warfront where I wouldn't suffer the rollback, you know what I mean? And so I really feel like, I still feel like that was an exploit. I think that Trion was just, I think they waited too long. I think the reason why they're not going to do a rollback is because they waited too long to do it. You know, if they turned Conquest off, or they pulled it off the live servers the day of the issue, or at least even, you know, 2 days after the issue, a day or two, that wouldn't have been that difficult to roll back. But instead, they shut it down for, you know, an hour or two at a time. They shut the servers down and restarted the servers multiple times during prime times and everything, and tried to do these Conquest fixes, and it just kept coming up with new issues and new issues and new issues, and people just
Yeah,
kept
it's not
farming and farming and farming. Yeah, it totally snowballed, and it got completely out of control, but they refused to do it when they could have done it, you know? And now it's been like 2 weeks since all of that happened. It's obviously way too late now. Like, now it's just been too long for them to even consider a rollback at this point.
Yeah, I think that they not only waited too long, but I think the reason they waited too long is because they were worried, like, the ramifications of doing a rollback, and they sat there waiting and contemplating it for so long that by the time they were like, oh, let's make a decision, you know, like you said, it was far too late, so they were almost like forced into doing not doing it, basically.
Well, they did have other options too. I mean, if you looked at the ranking system in the game, the PvP ranking system, you could see who has the top favor for the week. The list is right there. You could tell everyone who, you know, participated in that during that time. You could see how much favor they got. You can see their exact names, everything. So they had the listing right there. They could have gone back and modified everyone's favor by a certain percent, everyone on that list, that is. They could have, there's other options they could have done. I think it's just the lazy way out. But, you know, I don't know. They should have brought the servers, or the Conquest servers down at least much earlier than what they did. It took a full 8 hours before they finally were like, oh. And people were, it's not like people weren't on the forums posting that, hey, there's this stuff going on that probably shouldn't be going on. You know, people were getting PA levels every, you know, 20 minutes. People were getting 15 minutes even. People were getting favor levels like every 15 minutes, if not less than that. I mean, it was pretty crazy. It was insane.
I think in the end, they were just far too worried about the response they were going to get, like the tremendous negative feedback. And I said in a couple episodes ago, like, you don't even necessarily have to do a rollback, which a rollback insinuates, like, completely removing, you know, all the stuff you gain. You could just do, like, a flat across the board, like, a 30% reduction in the, you know, all the rewards you got. Because, you know, the exploit, while you were exploiting, you still would have gained rewards. You just shouldn't have been gaining them at, you know, at that rate. So you could just reduce it so it compensates for the, you know, increase the rate you were getting it at.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're just trying to take the lazy road out, or, you know, at this point they don't necessarily care or what. I don't know. There's not as much of an outcry, I guess, as there would be if they actually did the rollback. I think people would be storming the forums and be like, argh. But then a lot of people also understand that it probably shouldn't have happened, so maybe they wouldn't be out complaining as much. Who knows?
I definitely agree that there wouldn't have been as big of a lash out if they actually did do a rollback. But it is obvious that they're not going to do a rollback right now. The next question is really for the future, is what does this say about Trion's take on exploits? Because you can debate if this was an exploit or not. I think it's fair enough. You know, I can be objective and say that it's fair to debate if it was actually an exploit or not. I feel like it was. A lot of people don't. I think a lot of people have valid points for both sides of it. But for the people that feel like this was an exploit, there is a sizable amount of those people. They're going to feel like Trion is okay with that now.
Well, let's remember what happened last time there was a PvP exploit as well. Okay, back when the PvP rifts first came out, those first few days when the prestige rank raised in cap from 6 to 8, people got to 8 extremely quickly, too quickly, because they were using that PvP rift exploit where one faction would drop the stones for the other faction. And I do feel like that was an exploit as well. And there was really no punishment for that. It was slaps on the wrist. I think for most people it was like, that actually did it. It was something like 30k prestige and 50k favor that was lost. That's a slap on the wrist, you know. And so, obviously, Trion does not feel like punishing their community too much when the community does find a way around what they've set up.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that Trion has the attitude where they really, you know, they really care about the community, where they're really looking at the game as a game, you know, I think this is probably their view on it, is it's just a game, something went wrong, we wish it didn't, but, you know, we don't want to, you know, go through all this drama and create all this in-game drama and stuff for everybody by doing all these rollbacks and everything like that. We'll just fix things and hopefully, you know, it gets better and just kind of goes away. But, I mean, yeah, it is just a game, but at the same time, you do kind of have to make a statement as a company, and it does feel like, to those that feel like this Conquest thing was an exploit, it does feel like Trion is just kind of okay with that. Like, you know, if you have the opportunity to exploit, go ahead and do it, because you might at the most get a slap on the wrist or not get anything, and you might just, you know, make away with a decent advantage over other people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I did participate in it because, I don't know, I just had nothing else to do at that particular point, and I, you know, Conquest being new and everything, I wanted to get in there and try it. And when I finally got in there, and at that particular point, they kept bringing the servers down before that, and, you know, everyone was just kind of pissed off at that point because of how many times they brought the servers down. I mean, it was frustrating for us as a guild because they kept bringing the servers down. during their raid times, and so on and so forth. And since we already have limited raid times, it was a huge inconvenience at that point. And it was just, I almost felt like it was a little bit of something that they did for us to, I don't know, it was kind of a makeup for them to for bringing the servers down. But at that particular point, I think a lot of us were upset that the servers kept, or the Conquest servers actually kept crashing. Because I don't know if you knew exactly what was happening, but the Conquest server kept going down every 20 minutes approximately. And that's what the kind of the exploit was. Not necessarily because of base camping, because you could go into someone's base, because they've had that in every like MMO. They've had that in like Star Wars, everything. Where, you know, it's always been kind of an issue, and they should have actually thought about that a little bit more. But this big issue was that this Conquest servers kept coming down. So you just go back in there and immediately do it again, and go back in there 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, and then... I don't know. I think that was the huge thing, and it was kind of a pain that it kept coming down every 20 minutes. So
yeah, exactly. And there's supposed to be a cooldown on Conquest, which is that's why I feel like it was an exploit, because the massive zerging was causing the Conquest to lag and to crash out, which was causing the matches to continuously start over, which meant that you were able to farm Conquest continuously without cooldown, you know, without worry or whatever. Yeah, it was. Chat room saying it was because of the corpses. That's right. It was because of the corpses. But, it, you know, the corpses are a direct result of zerging the enemy spawn camp. And so I think that because that zerging was causing the crashing, that was causing the matches to reset without cooldown, I felt like that was an exploit. But obviously, like I said, we could debate this all day if it was an exploit or not. Tryon has made a lot of really really good attempts to kind of not just change Conquest, but to improve the Conquest experience recently. And their most recent one just went out today, right? It was the most recent hotfix today. They almost completely changed the Conquest reward system.
Yeah, I think they went way overboard now. I mean, I didn't even have time to read all the changes, but someone was just telling me about how there are shards now that you have to get to make one mark, and... I don't know. And then they nerfed the amount of favor that you get or something. So it just, to me, it sounds like they went vastly overboard. I don't know.
They wanted to make it more incentives for the objectives, which makes sense, but you're dead on. Like, they just, you know, the nerfs were far too severe. So it's not only that they made it, you know, the objectives have more incentive, they made, like, PvP in the simplest sense, which is to kill players, have almost zero incentive, so people just, like, you know, from what I read on the forum, just stand at the extractors, don't even kill anyone.
Yeah,
I mean, if Conquest was RVR, like I feel it should be, I would have the 10-minute reward include a mark for every 10% your team has, and get rid of the new shard stuff. Then the extractors would be important, but Melee wouldn't have to stand at them and get pelted by enemy marksmen to get rewards. Even in its current instance PvP version, I think that would be a better fix than what they've come up with this most current patch.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that the most recent changes, which if you... And you probably should have read the patch notes, but if you didn't, far as I can remember from them, I don't have them in front of me, standing at extractors now in Conquest, when they turn over, control of the extractor turns over, you gain... Dutch, is just one shard? How many shards do you gain when it turns over?
It's one or two, and as best as I could tell, it was two if it hadn't been any faction yet, and it was one if you turned it from an enemy faction to your faction. So,
okay.
So two at the very beginning of Conquest, and then one after that.
And then, is it 10? You have to have 10 shards, and you can turn those into a mark of
50.
Conquest? 50. Oh, 50, okay.
Yeah, that's what people are having problems with, because while... You might think, like, oh, that's a good incentive, but waiting for that many marks almost contradicts the entire purpose of this hotfix. Because why would you want to sit around to get that many marks for one?
You're also gaining prestige and favor now when the extractors turn control over, right?
101 favor, and I'm not really sure what the prestige is. But I actually got less favor sometimes. So I think it's going up and down, and I don't really know why.
Well, I wanted to get the changes clear because I read a lot of the stuff on the forums too, and Joe put a link in the show notes to a thread that was talking about a lot of the this one guy's ideas on how to kind of tweak the new changes in the new direction that they kind of have for how they're trying to encourage people to do objectives and conquest. I didn't actually think about it when I first read over the patch notes. I didn't think that maybe it would be too much PvE, which it seems like that's kind of the general consensus, is that this new focus on the extractors, and they took out the spawning of the Colossus of the PvE mobs at the beginning. Now they don't spawn until 30 minutes in. The Arclich at the end, which is the big, big boss at the very end after there's a victory, he doesn't spawn until all of the foci are down, all of the death foci are down. The death folk, I have more hit points. And I was thinking when I was reading all of this that it really sounds like, you know, you're not going to be able to just run around and tag everything on, because you're going to actually have to spend time DPSing. But from what we've read on the forums, even doing that, people aren't able to defeat these PvE objectives in time.
In its current form, I feel like it's better to avoid PvP than to PvP in Conquest, especially during those last 10 minutes. And it's gotten to the point where now with the increased health, if you PvP at all, if anyone on your team PvPs at all, you will not get the Archlich down in time.
Well, that's what I was saying prior to the show, Matt, that this, like we're probably going to talk about later in the show with the mentoring, they screwed up scaling. So that's what Bedwolf was saying. And the person in that thread that you referenced said that unless there's like 100% participation in killing the PvE mobs, you don't kill it in time because the scaling is so terrible.
Yeah, I think they keep pushing in a direction that's not fun. And it's like they're not listening to what people are saying. They really should be listening to some of what the people are saying in the forums. And I know that a lot of it's whining and crying and all that, but there are some really good solid posts with some really good information out there, some good ideas, and a lot of times they discount it, almost seems like, and they don't really want to make it fun. It's like they try to make it as unfun as humanly possible. I don't really know of anyone that enjoys doing it who's already farmed up their PvP trinket and their, you know, their other stuff they needed already. I don't know of any people that really go in there and say, hey, I really like to do this. I can't wait to go and do some more conquests. That's more like, oh, damn it, I gotta go do this. I need like 20 more marks for this thing. And
now I think the community, I think the Rift community, especially those that are vocal on the forums, I think they're really kind of mixed with what they actually want. I think everybody was looking for an RVR type setting, and then they didn't get it, which was okay. Everybody was still pretty excited for Conquest before it actually released. Then it released, it went through all these troubles and whatever. But I think people have kind of changed their focus over to actually trying to improve what we did get. I think people want to like Conquest, and they want it to function, but there's like this confusion for the community between, you know, do we want it to be a lot of PvP, a lot of actual just straight up just PvP? When Trion's like, okay, you want it to be PvP, fine. You have like kind of like the original implementation of Conquest, and it ended up being like Zergs versus Zergs, and that's all it was. And then everybody was like, well, the Zergs versus Zerg thing is kind of, you know, crappy, so we want it to be more objective-based. We want there to be more reasons to do the objectives. So then Trion turns around, and they're like, okay, here's some incentives to do objectives. And now people are like, well, now we don't have any reason to PvP. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Like, Conquest objectives are fairly simple, but there's still a lot of stuff going on, and it's a very large map to spread people out on, even if there's a full 500 people in there. I don't know. Like, where do you find that happy medium between the two where it's worth doing both?
But, well, I think it's exactly like you said. I think it's incentives. They have to basically sit down and say, what is going to motivate people to do, you know, what we want them to, essentially. And you know, it comes down to the incentives, and I just don't think they really sit down and look at all the incentives and see what drives people's, you know, mindsets and what drives them to do this or that. And I think what they'll have to end up doing is really try to make it so that you don't get quote unquote punished for doing what you want to do, whether it be, you know, zerging the castle or someone else's base, or, you know, if you just want to go with a couple of your guildies and go attack extractors somewhere in the corner. I mean, you shouldn't feel like you're punished, like, oh, I'm missing out on marks if I go do this, or I'm going missing out on this. Or you should get so much, you should get more favor and more prestige or whatever for doing something that one other thing, like if you want to just do PvP, and then you could get a lot of marks if you do one other thing. That way you can kind of mix it up, mix and match. I mean, you shouldn't have to have just one path, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, going down one option only. And that's what it seems like they're trying to do. They're trying to force people and funnel them into one option only. And that's where people get frustrated.
That's why I said I thought a really good fix would be to have that 10-minute reward, which now is actually giving me favor. Instead of giving the marks out and from the PvE mobs and that kind of stuff, if the amount of extractors that you had gave, or the percentage of extractors that you had gave you a certain amount of marks at that 10-minute reward time, then people doing anything to help out would get those marks. They wouldn't have to be in that one location. So you could have people killing extractors, you could have people PvPing, you could have people crafting. They're all getting that reward. And it's exactly what they did with the Warfronts. You know, the Warfronts got that way, where you got favor wherever you were on the map. I think that's what they need to do with Conquest to make it more enjoyable.
I actually was going to say something very similar to that. I feel like all the changes they're doing are stuff to enhance a more RVR type setting, but it's not RVR. So they almost have to, what Betawolf just said, go more in a Warfront type direction, because that's what it really is when you really boil it down to it. It's more of a Warfront than anything else. Sure, that's differences. And the funny part is, if it was RVR, I don't think you would have half the issues that it currently has. I think the fact that it's instance and there's a cooldown between actually causes a lot of issues that it has. But if it does indeed have both of those things, then you have to go in a more Warfront direction.
Yeah, I think you guys are exactly right. I think they kind of got confused with what they wanted to do, and then they're stuck halfway between, and that's what's causing the frustration. A lot of people are expecting it to kind of be Warfront quick, you know? You're in and out in like 5-10 minutes. But when it drags on for hours, or back in the day when it first came out, and it was like 10,000 kills, and they were going on for like 2 hours, 3 hours, or whatever, it was just, it was dragging on. I mean, some people don't even raid that long, and it was just, they hear they have to stay in for the entire thing, otherwise they're not getting all their marks. It was kind of crazy.
You know, someone in chat room said something about, you know, possibly adding like an option to some kind of sabotage system. Stone Solid mentioned this, to destroy enemy buffs or something, which I don't know if that would work specifically, but it does kind of make me wonder if they need to add more strategy to, you know, instead of giving incentives, they need to make it so that it's kind of like harder to win, you know. Give us more things that you need to do to win, such as, you know, removing enemy buffs, or if there was like a champion that you could spawn for your faction that would go and start capping extractors, and, you know, in order to stop that from actually happening so that you could win, so your faction could win, you actually had to go and destroy that champion or something. You know, that if they added more strategy into it, then it would force you, if you actually wanted to win, it would force you to go and do these other objectives as opposed to just kind of finding the path that gives you the maximum amount of rewards.
Yep, and they should have never had it so you had unlimited amount of resources for these buffs. I don't understand why they did, but you can sit there and collect them. I mean, for as long as you want, as long as the match goes on, you should have a limited amount, and the team that's winning should, you know, have more access to those buffs, and therefore that should kind of provide them, you know, further boost towards actually winning the rest of the game. So
I think this entire discussion, I was telling Betawolf before, and Matt as well, that before the show started, that I think all this boils down to that, quite simply, Conquest should have been on the PTS like far, far, far longer than it was, and they shouldn't have only done the scheduled events. They should have put on the PTS and been like, here, play it for like weeks on end and give us like extremely constructive feedback, because not only was it on there too long, but they only had scheduled events, which, number one, that's when it went live, people didn't even know there was a cooldown, because they were basically like, here's an event, okay, it's over, we'll see you next week. So people didn't even know there was a cooldown. That caused a huge uproar when it actually went live. People would realize that. And I feel like if they would have kept it on there much longer, they would have been like, realized so many more issues, there would have been better feedback. And in the end, that's, you know, what's happening right now. I feel like they're doing what they would do in the PTS, but they're doing it on live. They're basically like, here's feedback, here we're fixing it, over and over and over again.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems when they were testing is that they were continuously testing for maybe 2 hours at a time or something like that, you know, and they were doing it during prime time. So probably because they wanted, you know, prime time, that's when the most amount of people might actually go to the PTS. but it also happens to be when people are doing raids. They can't go to the PTS.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you have to guess that the amount of people in the PTS are nowhere near the amount they're going to be on live, because a very small percentage actually go in the PTS, period.
Yep. And that's part of the problem with PvE right now, too. And I hate to bring up World of Warcraft, but they have their own internal testing team, and that's something that Rift does not have. And that really hurts them, and that really hurt with Hammernail, it really hurt with ID, and it's hurting with some of their PvP content, too, like the Conquest. I mean, it's just stuff's not getting tested. It's getting released really, really shoddy. And sure, anytime you add something new, there's going to be problems, and there's going to be things that unforeseen issues, but some of these things that are getting in are just crazy. Like, they're so simple, they should not have, you know, they should have been caught right away during the first round of testing.
I told Nat, pretty much ever since 1.7, I would say, we've seen, like, so many consequences of just poor, maybe not even poor testing, just lack thereof testing. And, you know, they don't have an internal testing team. That could probably just be because they don't have the funding for it. I mean, this game is doing well. It has, you know, everyone is seeing around 250,000 subscribers, but they always talk about how small their development team is, and that's why people aren't so impressed at the schedule they keep. But there probably has to be sacrifices in certain areas, and that's probably the sacrifice. There's no internal testing team.
Well, get a team of interns or something. I mean, you know, there has to be, and sign them to a non-disclosure clause or something. And there's got to be options out there that they could do to have testing done, some sort of limited amount of testing. Obviously, it's not going to catch every single bug, but ID was horrible when it came out. I mean, it, like, single boss had bugs, and still, you look at Lathus, and that encounter's still bugged and has...
They released Mac and it was broken, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And I don't agree with how they've are having raiders test it now too, because you see all these guilds going against each other, and there's forum animosity. There's going to be anyways, but you have these, you know, these guilds going against each other. Oh, well, you tested that boss and you tested that one, so, you know, you had a leg up, so whatever the effort you put into it doesn't count as much as our effort that we put into it. And, you know, you've got all these people going against, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of stupid, and really, they really need to look at that, and I hope they don't go that same direction for the expansion, although I think, unfortunately, they will.
I think that's really kind of what it comes down to, too, is like how much time are they spending on the expansion as well? Why we might not be seeing as much effort put into the more recent features that we've gotten, like such as 1.9, is probably because I suspect that a lot of their team is tied up with the expansion. So I'm personally... You know, I have a lot of faith in Tryon, but I've been very disappointed lately. It doesn't feel like it's the same company as it was back in 1.5 and earlier, and back in launch. They were amazing with launch. You know, their hype machine was just amazing. They were always doing videos. They had all these trailers coming out. They were constantly, you know, like GMs and stuff participating and talking and chat and whatever out on the live servers. And they were always doing all kinds of stuff, and they were really quick on fixes. They were really quick on bug fixes. They were really quick on content, and it feels like that they really slowed down, and that's disappointing me a bit. But I'm hoping that it's only because of Storm Legion, and that Storm Legion is going to just be phenomenal, because I think that it kind of has to be, especially with 1.9. As good as some of the ideas and the features are that we did get in 1.9, I think overall 1.9 was essentially a failure. And with that being said, 1.10 has to be solid, and Storm Legion has to be simply amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for, you know, the last few days that I think something's just going to make or break this game. It's either going to attract a huge influx of a player base that'll stick around for a while, or it's not. And if it doesn't, then, you know, even veteran players that are playing now are not going to want to play much longer. So it'll eventually just die. So it's kind of like a all or nothing scenario.
Yeah, I don't know if Rift is on its last legs yet, but if they want to continue to grow, if they don't want that growth to be stunted, because I believe that the game is still growing, and if they don't want that to be stunted, then it's going to have to be good.
Yeah, and they really are frustrating to me. I mean, you look at the Macklemos issue, and I know that gets brought up a lot, but that fight was broken so many different times, and they're like, oh, we've fixed it for sure now, and then you'd go back, and oh, no, it's still broken. And, you know, it was a challenge to try to get that down. And there's still bugs with, you know, Lathys now, Malforge and some of these other bosses in here that need to get fixed, but then they go back and they add a hard mode to Maklamos. It's like, really? I mean, why are you changing that now when you still have some of these other bugs that you need to fix? I mean, obviously, they're going to have to change that fight anyways at some point down the line. But why aren't you fixing some of these bugs that are, you know, have been existing for a month now or more?
Yeah, and the hard mode, as far as I know, is pretty much what the original incarnation of the fight was supposed to be, too, which is almost ironic.
We haven't actually done it, but I heard it's a little bit different. It's pretty much the original thing with a couple of their changes. And it is actually quite difficult, according to what Parabellum was saying. So.
All right, guys, well, we got to wrap this up. Betawolf is going to be streaming on Rift Overcast's Twitch channel right here on twitch.tv/RiftOvercast every Sunday and Monday, right? And what do we have, 9 p.m. Eastern, right? 6 p.m. Pacific?
Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific to 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on Sunday and Monday. And I'm also going to, while that time slot is open, be doing Primeval Feast on Thursdays. So I'm not sure about the exact time, but it should be similar to the Sunday, Monday times on that.
Yeah, so make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/RiftOvercast or @RiftOvercast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/RiftOvercast. Website is riftovercast.blogspot.com. Follow us on the Twitch TV channel, twitch.tv/RiftOvercast. We want to do more giveaways for you guys, by the way. Currently working on kind of doing our next prize. The Guild Wars 2 key was kind of something that just got donated to us, and we wanted to get that out to you guys, especially because, well, me and Joe just aren't interested in Guild Wars 2, so, hey, maybe somebody else that was listening to the show might have been. But we want to do more giveaways to you. We're going to do all the future giveaways the same way. You have to be a follower on Facebook. You have to be a follower on Twitter, and you'll have to either retweet a Twitter post or you'll have to click like on the Facebook page. And we'll probably do some giveaways for the live stream as well during the live recordings. The next one, I'm looking into possibly seeing if there's a way that I can give you guys an Armored White Tiger mount. If not, then I'm going to do 2 free months of Rift. I'm going to get a Rift time card, and I'll give away the key for that. So make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can also hit us up on email. Email is riftovercast@gmail.com, and we are going to be recording live every week from here on out, starting at 7 p.m. same time, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And that's it for episode 20, and we'll see you guys next week.